Good morning, Rabbi Shai. As always, welcome to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's shiur, first of all, before I begin, today's shiur is dedicated by Rabbi Moshe Berger on the occasion of the first yahrzeit upcoming of his mother-in-law, Gita Bas David, Lishvi Eli, for her neshama. The parasha that we read yesterday, the parasha Vayera, begins with the story of the Malachim who came to visit Avram, who passed by Avram on the day that Hashem was talking to him, the third day after his bris milah, and obviously Avram Avinu did not realize that they were Malachim, and he gave them food and so forth, and the whole incident became the paradigm for Chesed, Hachnasas Orchim, that we follow, that inspires us to this day. What's interesting to note is that there is some question in terms of how the halacha was observed when Avram gave the food to the malachim, and that is that the Torah tells us that he prepared an elaborate feast for them. He prepared according to the Chazal, that each one of them, there was an animal slaughtered on behalf of each one of them, so that each one should have his own tongue, to have the delicacy of tongue. Each one had their own to eat. And, there were other things involved as well. And the Torah tells us, Vayika chema v'cholav, that Avraham Avinu took chema's butter, v'cholav, and milk, uben ha-bokar, rach v'tov, and also he took meat and gave it to them, milk and meat. So the question presents itself that how is this permissible? Was this permissible? So obviously it was before the Torah was given. And even though Avraham Avinu himself observed the mitzvahs before the Torah was given, as we find in the Chazal in several places, based on the Pasuk and Parashas Toldos, however, the question arises, did the Malachim in fact eat Basar V'Cholav? So if you look here on the sheet, there's a sefer called Sha'arei Aram that brings down various, it's like almost like an encyclopedia of commentaries on the Chumash. So if you look here in the right hand side, it says that this teaches us that in fact Avraham Avinu fed the Malachim Basar V'Cholav, that he gave them milk and meat, which technically would have violated the Torah law, but because this was before the Torah was given, so presumably, and these people didn't necessarily follow the Torah, they were only obligated to the seven Noahide laws, to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, so therefore, it was permissible. So the Chazal say, that later on, when it came time to give the Torah to the Jewish people, so we find in the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos and more elaborate in the Medrash that Amru Malachim, that the Malachim said, the angel said, what are you giving the Torah? The Torah is so precious. What are you giving it to people? People aren't going to keep it. Leave it up here with us. We will observe the Torah scrupulously. So it says there that Amru Lahem, so God said to the Malachim, he said to the angels, Kasup Torah, lo zavashul gediba chalev imo. He said, really? You're going to keep the Torah scrupulously? Well, one of the mitzvahs in the Torah is not to eat milk and meat together, and you guys already violated that. Okay, how is that? Because when you went down to that on that incident, when you went down to pass by Avram, so you didn't keep that either. So what are you saying, that the Torah is not going to be kept by people? As we would say today, you guys aren't so hot yourself, right? In other words, you're not such a righteous, you make it sound like you leave the Torah with us and it'll all be followed. Well, you didn't follow it that time. Okay. It required, now they weren't obligated. Okay, there's a lot of questions that one could ask on this, but whatever, this is what it says. This is what it says in the Medrash. But then we find that there is a second opinion. And the second opinion, if you look in the following paragraph, it says, "I'm worried with the brand. The Eish b'zeh shtei shitos. The Eish shesovrim. There are those that say she'achu basar b'cholav v'yachad. There are those that we just mentioned who say that the malachim, that the angels ate milk and meat together. The Eish sovrim, but others hold the mikodem cholav v'achad kach basar, that it was not a violation of the Torah law because of the fact that if you look carefully in the pasuk says that he took butter and milk and then meat. So he gave them first the dairy before he gave them the meat. And that's not a violation. That's okay. Okay? That would be fine. In other words, the only time it would be an issue would be if they ate it together. Or we would say even if they ate the meat first and then the milk. But if they ate the milk first, the milk products first, and then the meat, there's no problem. And this is the opinion of some Rishonim, that Avram followed the Torah and gave it to them in that manner. Yes?
Just as the vendor, if you look at the truck in the Torah,
yeah,
there's a pause after milk before you go to Boston.
Okay, very good. That's it. Okay, there you have it. In other words, we know that the truck, the way the musical notes that how we read the Torah have significance, and therefore if you look in the pasuk, it says Ve'yikachem avicholav, and then there is a snachta or whatever it is, right? And then it says Uben Abakar Rach Batov. So that indicates the truck, the way that this is one of the reasons why it's important, even though we don't make the person who reads the Torah go back if he makes a mistake on the truck, but it's definitely worthwhile that the person who prepares to read the Torah should get the truck correctly, because oftentimes it impacts on the meaning of the puzzle. So here you have it. Okay. So there you have a indication that would follow this pshat. So the topic of today's shir is something which is obviously directly connected to this, and a question that comes up a lot, which is, is that in fact the case? Does a person have to wait at all between dairy and meat? As right now, I presume everyone's having a cup of coffee with milk, or some, maybe they have, I was told the cheese danishes did not come today, which may be a heavenly sign, but the fact of the matter is that the question is, could you, if right now someone brought you some meat, could you eat it without any sort of wait? So I would like to discuss this and then get to a common question which comes up with the aged cheeses, which is where, yeah, I think we all are familiar to some degree that there is some question with that. So I'd just like to discuss the topic thoroughly so that we have a clear understanding of what's involved. Okay, first and foremost, so why do we have to wait? Between milk and then meat? So if you look here on the page, the Gemara in Chulin says, and Kuf Hei Amin Aleph, I have it underlined, there's a little underlined, Bar Minei Rav Asi Mirav Yochanan, the Gemara says, Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, Kama Yishe Ben Basul Gvina. He asked him, how long should you wait between meat and cheese? Amale, meat and cheese. That's not, right? First meat. On my way, so Rabbi Yochanan is reported to have answered, "Below klum, you don't have to wait at all." So the Gemara says, "What? How could you say that?" For Amar Rav Chista, "Ochol basar, osu lechol gvina." It says Rav Chista has told us that if you eat meat, you can eat cheese right afterwards. But in the reverse, gvina, if a person ate cheese, then mutar lechol basar, then you could eat meat. But so, what does he mean that you don't have to wait between meat and cheese? So the Gemara says that in fact it was a misunderstanding, and therefore Ella Kama Yishab and Gvina Labasar. In other words, it must be that we didn't have it right. That in fact the question that was posed to Rabbi Yochanan was, how long do you have to wait between cheese and milk and meat? To which he said, I'm a label oklum. To which Rabbi Yochanan responded that you don't have to wait at all. And thus, this is the maskana of the Gemara, that it's clear in the Gemara that a person does not have to wait at all, midina de Gemara, between eating milchit, between eating cheese, or milk, or butter, or whatever, any other milk product, and meat. That is the halacha that emerges from the Gemara. However, we are familiar that it may not be quite that simple. Could be other factors involved. So this we'll see. But in order to fully grasp this, we have to first go into why is it that a person has to wait the other way? Why does the person have to wait between eating meat and drinking milk? So you may recall that several years ago we spoke about this, but if you don't remember it, we could just quickly run through the Gemara over here. The Gemara goes down a couple of lines later. There is I should have marked it off, where we find the often quoted statement of Mar Ukva. Okay, and the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that, it's about four or five lines down from where we are. The Gemara says, Omar Mar Ukva, So Marukva said a famous statement. He said, "I know Rahon Milsa Cholav Achamra Lagabe Abba." Marukva said that in the following matter, I am like vinegar, the son of wine. Meaning that I don't compare at all to my father. My father was like wine, and I am like the vinegar that comes when wine is left to sour. Why? So he explained, he said, because the Ilu Abba, because my father, Kiyave Ochol Bisra Ha'idna, Kuav Ochol Gvin Abba Mocher, because my father, if he would eat meat on a certain day, let's say on Sunday, he would eat meat, he would not go ahead and eat cheese until Monday. He waited an entire day between meat and milk. He said, that's what Marukva reports that his father did. He says, however, you are not, but as far as I am concerned, Bahasu dasa hu de lo achilna, and I only don't eat meat and milk together in the same meal. However, lesudas achrin achilna, but in a different meal, I would eat it. In other words, Marukva is saying that I don't match up to my father. My father would wait an entire day between meat and milk. But I don't do that. I only don't eat it in the same meal. But in two different meals, I would eat it. Now, this is the basis in the Gemara for the idea of not having meat and milk together. Now, what does it mean, two different meals? So I don't want to go into the whole discussion. We had that share once, and it's a lengthy discussion, what exactly that's supposed to mean, and where do we get the six-hour number from? So there are those that say that what he meant to say was that in the times of the Gemara, in the Talmudic era, people only ate two meals a day. They ate a mid-morning meal and an evening meal, and roughly they were separated by 6 hours. So he was saying that I don't eat the meat and the milk in the same meal, but I eat it 6 hours later. That's roughly the idea. There is a great deal of discussion amongst the Rishonim, and as we know, that in the Klal Yisrael, there are different customs. There are the prevailing custom of most Jews is to wait 6 hours between eating milk and meat, excuse me, between the meat and milk. Right, a person had fleishig, a person had meat, would wait 6 hours. Okay, there are those that have a custom to wait only 3 hours, Jews of German descent, and there are still others that wait 1 hour, and that is actually a custom that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch more so than the 3 hour custom. But okay, they're different, everyone, you know, there are different practices, it's not up for a choice, it goes by the custom that a person comes from. So therefore, when in doubt, if a person was unclear what their custom was, so then everybody would wait 6 hours because that is the dominant prevailing practice. However, there are people that wait less than that. Now, why is that? Why do we wait at all? So if you look here in Rashi, so Rashi says, in other words, my Rukva is not giving us a reason. He's just saying that my father waited till the next day, and I only wait till the next meal. But why do you have to wait at all? What would be the point? So Rashi here, I made an arrow next to it. Rashi says, "Also lecho gvina mishum debasa motzi shuman." He said because meat has a certain fatty taste to it, and that taste. That taste stays in a person's mouth much past the time that he actually swallows the meat. In other words, you could swallow the meat, but nevertheless, the taste of the meat, the person eats a juicy piece of meat, so we know that it stays with you a lot longer. And apparently the Chazal felt that it was improper to eat dairy when you still have that taste in your mouth. And therefore, the assumption was that 6 hours later, that taste was gone, and therefore, that would be why you have to wait. That is Rashi's opinion. Okay, if you turn over the page, I apologize, this sheet was made not exactly the way I would have done it. And in fact, let's see here, does he have the Rambam? Yeah, on the bottom of the page, okay, on the bottom of the other side, okay, so the Rambam tells us in the ninth parak of Hilchos Machos Asuros, the Rambam says that Misha Ochel Basar B'tchila Bein Basar Behema, whether it's meat from a Behema Bein Asar Ochel, whether it's from a bird, from chicken or turkey or duck, Lo Yochel Achrav Cholav, the person should not eat milk or dairy products afterwards, Ad Sheyisha Beinem Kidei Shir Suda Acheres, until he waits the amount of time that it would take to have another meal, which as we said a few moments ago in the Talmudic times, that was approximately 6 hours. The Rambam here says, Kimo Sheishos. It's like 6 hours. if light sticks out. Now we'll get back to that in a second. What's the reason? Says the Rambam, if they have basar shel bein hashinayim she'ein osar b'kinuach. The Rambam says a different reason. The Rambam says the reason is because, not because the taste stays in your mouth, but rather because very often the meat gets caught in your teeth. And if the meat gets caught in your teeth, so it's still there and it still has the status of meat. But after 6 hours, so due to the fluid, the saliva that's in a person's mouth, so the meat decomposes. And after 6 hours, it no longer has the status of meat. So therefore, if a person still had meat in his teeth after 6 hours, it wouldn't be a problem. But up until that time, it would be. So because of the fact that it's frequent that a person gets meat stuck in his teeth, so if he's then going to go ahead and eat dairy, so he'll end up possibly swallowing both at the same time. He would have milk and meat together, and that would violate the Torah law. And therefore, we have the Rabbanan instituted that a person has to wait for 6 hours. Okay, that is the Rambam's opinion, which is different than what Rashi said. Rashi said that it's because the taste stays in your mouth, whereas the Rambam says that the reason is because the meat gets stuck in your teeth. Now, it happens to be that you'll say, what difference does it make which reason you follow? So there are very practical differences. There are cases which would make a practical difference. For example, what would be if a person chewed meat without swallowing it? If a person chewed meat without swallowing it, now in the times of the Gemara and even subsequent to that, I don't want to upset anybody who's in the middle of eating, but before they had baby food, you know, today people, you go to the store and you get all kinds of baby food that's very easy for a child, grated and grinded in such a way a baby could digest it, but in the olden times they didn't have that, and there, it was common that a mother would chew food for a child and then give it to the child to eat after it was chewed. The child had no teeth. The mother chewed it for the child. Lo es latinok. Okay, so what would be in such a situation? So the mother didn't swallow it, but the child did. So do you have to wait 6 hours in that case? So if you hold like the Rambam, so then you would have to wait, because the Rambam's concerned that it gets stuck in your teeth. So if it gets stuck in your teeth, even if you chewed it without swallowing it, you would have to wait. Whereas, according to Rashi, that the taste stays in your mouth, so apparently that's only true if you swallow it, that the fatty taste stays in your system, but if you just chewed it, that would not be the case. Okay, lest you think that this is outdated, this actually happened here in the yeshiva a number of years ago. I remember I walked in one time, Rosh Hashanah fell out the same way it did this past year, where we had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and then Shabbos. So Matzah Shabbos, here in the yeshiva, for the boys who stay in the dormitory, they usually get an order of pizza from the pizza shop that's delivered to the yeshiva. And on that particular night, because it was coming after a 3-day yontif, this is going back about 8-9 years ago, so there was a question whether the pizza shop was going to be open. So they didn't know, and it was getting late, and they were hungry. So they had no choice, so they went into the kitchen and took the leftovers from yontif. So they put out the fleshig leftovers from Rosh Hashanah, and one boy in particular, I remember, put a piece of meat in his mouth and started to chew it, and just then Mashiach came. Just then the door opened, and lo and behold, the pizza delivery guy comes. Right? So he immediately, seeing this, spit it out, okay, of course maybe it was Bracha Vatala, but he didn't care, he wanted his pizza, so he spit it out. But now he wanted to know, is he allowed to eat the pizza? Is he allowed to eat the pizza? Master Shalai, actually, I was there right there when it happened. So, you know, he starts giving me all kinds of arguments that, you know, of course, he shouldn't have no problem, he didn't swallow it, this and that. But the fact of the matter is that according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter, because if you chewed it, that's all it takes. So I asked him, you chewed it? He said, yeah. I said, I'm sorry, you can't eat the pizza. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Because water is going to get between your teeth.
Yes.
So if in theory you go ahead and floss very well.
Yes. So okay. So what has? I'll get that in a second. So that would be according to the Rambam's opinion. Okay. Now on the other hand, if you another practical difference would be that what happens if a person in fact had meat stuck in his teeth after 6 hours? Okay, now that could happen too. A person had supper, you know, a nice supper, and then he went to sleep. And he woke up in the morning 7 hours later, and he didn't brush his teeth before he went to sleep. He still had teeth stuck in his mouth, and now he wants to have a cup of coffee. Okay, so what would be with that? So if you say, so here the Rambam would be the lenient position, because if the Rambam says that the meat only has the status of meat if for 6 hours, after 6 hours it decomposes. So therefore, if you had the meat in your mouth past the 6 hours, not a problem. However, according to Rashi's opinion, so Rashi doesn't agree with that. Rashi holds that it still has the status of meat. So then he would have to at least take it out of his mouth. Whether he would have to wait 6 hours from that point, probably not, but he would at least have to take it out of his mouth before he went ahead and had a cup of coffee. So there you have it. So there are differences between which opinion you follow, and the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that we are machmir like both opinions. In other words, it's not, we don't take a side, and therefore we concern ourselves both ways, and therefore chewing the food alone is a problem, would be an issue, and so too, if a person found it in his mouth after 6 hours, he would have to at least take it out. Okay? The question is posed, well, what happens, let's say, according to the Rambam, if a person flossed his teeth, so he knows for sure that there's nothing in his mouth? So the answer to that is that once the Rabbanan instituted this policy, so lo plug Rabbanan, the Rabbanan did not distinguish between one case and the next, and therefore even if a person knows that he has nothing in his teeth, it would still be an issue. Okay, so there you have it. So there you have the 6 hour wait between Rashi and the Rambam. Yes, sir.
Does that lo plug apply to the types of food as well? In other words, if somebody tastes it.
Yeah, so right. So now the question is, so then what would be, let's say, for example, if a person had a meat dish that does not get stuck in your teeth. Let's say he had some sort of soup or something like that. So there also, we don't make a distinction, and we say that if it's meat, and that's it. Okay, that is the halacha that we follow, and not only that, but we also follow it even when it comes to chicken, or any other bird, a duck, turkey, even though those do not really, by Torah law, don't have the status of meat, it's only midrabanan, but nevertheless, that's what we do, we follow it even there too. Yeah.
So, if this yeshiva boy had a spoon of meat soup in his mouth?
Yes. If he had it, that's right. If he had a spoon of meat soup in his mouth and spit it out, he would not have to. He could have eaten the pizza right away. Correct. He could have eaten the pizza right away. And in fact, it's brought down that in the olden times, even today, there are people that on Friday afternoon taste the food that's being cooked for Shabbos. It's brought in the poskim that it's a good idea to do that so that the food tastes good for Shabbos. In the honor of Shabbos, the food should taste good. So they base this, we have the statement in the Zmiris, Toamer Chaim Zochu, that people who, which is interpreted that if you taste the food before Shabbos, that's not what it means, but the homiletic interpretation is that if you taste the food before Shabbos, you will merit good things because of the fact and honor of Shabbos. So when a person, typically a housewife preparing for Shabbos, would taste the food and spit it out, and then she could continue eating milk, or drinking milk, or eating a milk product because of the fact that she didn't swallow it, and assuming it was not chewed, right? And there was, even if it was hard meat, but if she just wanted to see, let's say, if it was salted enough or something like that, so you just put it in your mouth and spit it out, then you would not have to wait 6 hours according to all opinions. Okay, there you have it. So that's the 6 hours between meat and milk. Okay, now, when it comes the other way, when it comes to milk to meat, so simply stated, neither of these reasons apply, because the milk, the concern that it will get stuck in your teeth apparently is by meat specifically, like we know that the texture of meat is common that it gets stuck in a person's mouth. And similarly, milk products do not have that sort of fatty, almost you would say like greasy type of effect that the taste stays in your mouth. And therefore, the halacha stated clearly in the Gemara is that you don't have to wait at all. You can go straight from milk to meat. Okay, however, it's not quite that simple, because the Gemara, I don't go through it in the interest of saving time, but the Gemara there in Chulin mentions there are certain things, though, that a person does have to do between milk and meat. Okay, there are certain things that a person has to do. So if you look here on the sheet, the side that I was just on, the top left is a quote of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in the Wars of Bas V'Cholov says as follows. It says, Ochel gvina, if a person ate cheese, muter lecho achrov basar miyad, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that a person can eat meat immediately after, does not have to wait at all, which we'll soon discuss, right? No, there's no amount of time that a person has to wait. However, there are certain precautions that a person has to take. Number one, he says, "Ubovad she'ayin yodah." First of all, a person has to look at his hands. Shelo yehei shum davar me'agvina nidvak behem. You have to make sure that you don't have any residue of the cheese on your hands. In other words, especially in the olden times, you know, nowadays people eat, or at least until the recent times, people ate with forks and spoons. Now, again, we've gotten to the fact point where people eat a lot of things with their hands, right? But in the olden times, people ate almost everything with their hands. So the question would be, you know, that, yeah, you just had cheese, so it doesn't stay in your mouth, but it's on your hands. And you're going to then hold the meat in your hand, so the tastes are going to combine. So the Shulchan Aruch says, number one, that you have to make sure there's nothing on your hands, and therefore you're really supposed to wash them. The Shulchan Aruch says, Tzarech l'rachtzim, you would have to wash them, okay? Excuse me, I skipped the line. It says, Bimhu b'layla, if it would be at night when you couldn't see well onto your hands, then you would have to wash your hands. Okay, in the daytime where you could examine your hands by the daylight, so then from the strictly reading the Shulchan Aruch, you would not have to wash your hands. There are those that say that even, that really it's a good idea to wash your hands anyway, and there are many that follow that practice, but certainly if it would be at night, you know, by us today, night and day are the same because of electric lights, so, you know, you could always see, but theoretically if a person was in a dark room, so then he would have to wash his hands in the daytime, not necessarily, as I say, some do, some don't. But then it says, "V'tzarech l'kaneach piv u'l'hadicho." But a person also has to clean out his mouth. He has to wipe clean his mouth and rinse it out. What does that mean? How do you wipe clean your mouth? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'kinuachu sheyilos pas v'kaneach bo piv yafe." That a person should chew on a piece of hard food which is parved. In other words, say a piece of bread. A person take a piece of bread and chew it in his mouth, so that way, in case there happens to be the taste, that some taste presumably would still be in his mouth. It wouldn't last for 6 hours, but there may still be something in his mouth immediate, in the immediate sense. So therefore, a person is supposed to chew a piece of bread and not just chew it in one spot, but sort of move around his mouth. It doesn't have to be specifically bread. It could be anything hard, pretzels, anything like that, any food pretty much, and chew it in his mouth. And that would be called cleaning out his mouth in that sense. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch says you could use any food except for flour, dates, and certain vegetables. Okay, but essentially a person, you know, a piece of cake or a piece of bread or a pretzel or something like that would do it. And then he says, if you skip two lines, he says, "V'acha kach yadiach piv b'mayim o b'yayin." And then he has to take a drink. In other words, so if a person has cheese and wants to eat milk and wants to eat meat, okay, so or any other dairy product, presumably, right? So you can't, so the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara said you don't have to wait. So that is true, you don't have to wait. However, that doesn't mean that you could just jump right into it. Because what we say is that you do have to do something in order to clean out your mouth. Because, as we all know from experience, very often the taste is still going to be in your mouth. So therefore you have to take a piece of solid food and chew it, and then a drink. Okay, so that's what's called kinuach v'hadocha, and those two things would then clean out the person's mouth. Okay, and that's pretty much what a person needs to do. There is one other thing which is brought in a different halacha, which is that also the person should not eat the two different items on the same tablecloth, because of the fact that we're concerned that the tablecloth may have the residue of the dairy, and then you'll put meat onto it, so then, you know, it could pick it up. So pretty much that's what it comes down to. In other words, the precautions that have to be taken when going from milk to meat are, a person has to check his hands to make sure his hands are clean. Okay, in the view of many poskim, if you eat with a fork or a spoon, you don't have to do that. That's what Aruch HaShulchan says, that this would only be an issue if a person ate the dairy with his hands, if he was eating a piece of cheese he was holding in his hand. But if he was eating the cheese or whatever it was, some milk product with a fork or a spoon, then there's no problem. You don't have to wash your hands. Okay, the other things you have to do is you have to clean out your mouth with solid food and liquid and not eat on the same tablecloth. And assuming you do that, then you're good to go. Yes?
What is the Shulchan Aruch Mekimcha?
What's that?
It says Mekimcha, flour. So it's not talking about eating bread?
No, it's not talking about bread. I think it's talking about raw flour, I believe. In other words, regular bread regular bread is considered good enough. Regular, I think the post can say also barley bread, which we don't have, is,
or,
I believe so. In other words, bread is definitely good enough. It says on the previous line, Yeros pas, right? If you choose bread, that would be good enough. Okay, so that's pretty much what a person would have to do. Now, there is also discussion, yeah, go ahead.
So is there a differentiation between liquid and solid?
Okay, good, I was about to get to that. Now what you'll say, what about if all I did was have a cup of coffee, or I just drank a glass of milk, so do I have to then go through the process with the hard food, all I had was a liquid? So here there is discussion, but the consensus of the poskim seems to be that you do not. In other words, if you just drank milk, then all you have to do is take a drink of water in between. In other words, you don't have to eat a piece of bread. A piece of bread or any other food like that, hard food, would be necessary only if a person ate hard dairy, if a person had a piece of cheese or something like that. So then the cheese could have gotten stuck in your mouth. But if you just had a cup of milk or a cup of coffee or something like that, and I have a milkshake, that's probably also, you know, if it was, liquidy, so then you just have to drink down with a glass of water. It doesn't have to be water. It could be wine, soda, anything, juice. It's all good. Yes?
If you're having something with a piece of bread just to wash out, just to clean out the mouth,
yes,
you have to wash it.
Yes, so that's a good question, which I'm not certain what the answer to that is, but I think the common practice that people would do it. But you could have a pretzel too, and then, you know, that would be better, of course, then you'd still have a question whether you have to say a bracha on that, but I think the common practice is that people would do it, especially if they like what they're eating. Okay, so there you have it, okay? Now, one great loophole to this, the Shulchan Aruch says that this is only necessary, going back to the quote of the Shulchan Aruch, he says that this is only necessary, Bamed Varam Amurim, 2 lines from the end of that quote, but Basar Behema Vechaya, this is only true if you're going from milk to meat. Avo and Bo Recho Basar O Fachar Gvina. However, if a person is having chicken after having had dairy, then you don't have to do anything. Then he's Ainu Tsarh or Kinuch Vlo Adocha Vlo Natila. You don't have to wash your hands, you don't have to clean out your mouth, you don't have to take a drink, nothing. Okay, so if a person had a cup of coffee or let's say had some cheese and wants to have a piece of chicken afterward, the halacha is you can go straight. You don't have to do anything. Why that is a good question. The poskim discuss that essentially I think it comes down to the fact that chicken anyway would only be issa d'rabbanan in this case, and even though that alone is not the answer totally, because basar behema, basar chaya is also d'rabbanan, but whatever. When it comes to chicken, you don't have to deal with this. It's only when a person is going to eat meat. Okay, so therefore again, the precautions that a person has to take when going from, this is regardless of whether you're going to wait. In other words, this is always the case. Even if you're not going to wait at all, if a person is going from cheese to meat, so then you would have to do what's called kinuach v'adocha. You would have to clean out his mouth both with hard food and with a liquid. He would have to check his hands to see that his hands were clean. A lot of people just wash their hands anyway, even if they ate with a fork, because you never know, and some people say it's well put, but whatever, that already is debatable. And a person could not eat on the same tablecloth. And possibly, a person might have to also say a bracha achrona. He might have to separate the two by saying a bracha on the food that you just ate and a new bracha on the meat food that you're going to eat. This is a very big dispute amongst the poskim. It's somewhat well known that in the Mishnah Berurah, if you turn over on this side, the Mishnah Berurah in the laws of Shavuos, when he speaks about the custom, which we discussed once, the practice on Shavuos that some people have is that they would have dairy and then meat in the same meal. So the Mishnah Berurah famously says that in such a situation, what they would do is the custom to commemorate the special carbon that was brought on Shavuos involving 2 loaves of bread is that they would have a loaf of bread, they would make hamotzi, and then have cheese, and then they would bring out a second loaf of bread to have meat. So that was because you're not allowed to use the same loaf of bread for milk and for meat, so therefore they would, but that practice would demand that you have to have 2 loaves of bread. So in that situation, the Mishnah Berurah comes out and says, it's here on the sheet, he says that, I'm sorry, it's the wrong piece that was brought here. The Mishnah Berurah in Yud Zayin says that in such a case, you would not have to say, you would not have, in Yud Dalet, in Tesvav, excuse me, in the first line of the Mishnah Berurah section, he says that the Ein Tzarech L'Hafstik B'Birchas HaMazon, that a person would not have to bench in between, you could go straight from one to the next. That is the Mishnah Berurah's opinion. However, we will see that a lot of people disagree with that, and it's the common practice is to follow the Mishnah Berurah, but many, many poskim disagree based on something else, which we'll soon see. Yeah, so that's what some people say, that this is only on Shavuos. That's what some people say, that this is a special kula for Shavuos, but that's also not clear. So it's hard to know. It's hard to know. But nevertheless, that seems to be, the people who follow the Mishnah Berurah generally would not make a separation between the cheese and the meat. Okay, so that's it. If you're having chicken afterwards, you don't have to do anything.
Going the other way,
yeah.
Which you said, if you just tasted chicken,
yeah.
You still have the same chumrah, or is it the same? Is the chicken compared to the meat going the other way?
Yes. Going the other way, if a person had chicken, it would have to wait 6 hours with all the chumras. Right, there it's...
Just chewing it.
Yeah, that's it. Chewing it would do it. Yeah, that's correct. In other words, from chicken is taken with chumrah when you're going from meat to milk, but when you're going from milk to meat, then we treat chicken differently. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
If they're not eating meat right away,
right?
Is there any time consideration? Meaning, if you ate meat,
yeah,
you have to wait 6 hours before you can eat milk. Right.
Right.
If you don't eat anything, you don't have to. 6 hours later, you don't have to clean your mouth out. Right.
That right. If
so
you don't,
presume the other way would also be true.
Right.
Exactly. When is the shear?
So this is unknown. Right. That's a good question, which I myself don't know the answer so well. If a person ate dairy and then wasn't going to eat meat right away, right? But then he's going to eat meat an hour later. So does he have to still clean out his mouth, or can he rely on the fact that, you know, it naturally got out of his mouth? So I believe that the overwhelming practice of people is that they don't do anything in that situation. It's only done when you're going straight, right? I would imagine the reason for that is because whatever taste is in your mouth when it comes to cheese is very short-lived. So if you're going right away, so then you have to do something, you have to take some sort of action. But if you're going to anyway, it's very common. A person has a snack in the afternoon and then he goes to eat the supper, right? So he had a piece of cheese and then 2 hours later he sits down to eat supper. I'm not aware of anyone that cleans out their mouth in that situation. Okay? Now, I just want to point out that, now a lot of people think that you could solve this problem by brushing your teeth. Okay, you know, if you brush your teeth, why do I have to pachka with bread and drinks and all kinds of things? I'll just go brush my teeth and that'll take care of it. So I did not see anyone that says that that's sufficient, and from what I understand, it's not. In other words, not good enough. A lot of people say, I'll just brush my teeth. Well, that would help if there was stuff in your teeth, but not. It seems that the Shulchan Aruch's law that you have to put something hard in your mouth and take a drink, it seems would apply. I mean, maybe the brushing the teeth would cover the drink part of it. In other words, you know, that might help you get the taste out in that sense. But apparently there's also, I don't know, it's hard to know. It doesn't say anywhere that's acceptable. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard people say, I don't know if it's just compromised or not,
yeah. Okay, so now, as far as the 6 full hours, so in the Lakewood Yeshiva, I will tell you that in the Lakewood Yeshiva, they serve lunch at a certain time. The schedule of the Yeshiva is that they serve lunch at X time, I believe 2 o'clock, and they serve supper 5.5 hours later, and the lunch is always chicken, is always meat, and the supper is always dairy. And they don't ever wait the full 6 hours. It's built into the schedule of the Yeshiva that way. So the reason for that, you'll say, well, kind of heresy, here they go around claiming they're the biggest yeshiva in America, and they violate open the law in the Shulchan Aruch. So the answer is that Rav Aaron Cutler held, he was not alone in this, that if you look at the Brisker has also held this, that Rav Soloveitchik, it's reported, said this over in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that if you read the Rambam carefully, so the Rambam, when he says you're supposed to wait 6 hours, he says, Kamo Shei Shos. Approximately 6 hours. So approximately 6 hours. In the old days, they didn't have watches. You know, today, you know, you go to the Nates Minion to have the atomic clocks that can give to the second, you know, but this is a recent development. But what they do in the old days, they didn't have watches altogether. So therefore, it was an approximation. So if it's an approximation, so the Rambam says, the Rambam pretty much says that. So therefore, there were people that held that you don't have to wait the full 6 hours. The Rav Aaron Cutler held you just have to wait 5.5 hours. That's what they follow. There are other people that say that you just had to wait 5 hours and 1 minute. But the prevailing custom is to wait 6 full hours. That's the prevailing custom. I'm not saying everyone has that custom. I'm saying that's the consensus, the prevailing custom. So therefore, unless you have a specific Masorah or otherwise, we all wait 6 hours. But there is such a thing. There's no question about it. That people say that, and as I say, this is a practice that's followed. That a lot of people follow. They go five, but you can't just do it as a matter of convenience. You can't just say, well, I'm not in the mood to wait 6 hours. It's a good thing that it was being served, and it's not 6 hours. If that's your practice, that's your practice. The person has to hold by their standards. You can't lower your standards just because of one good time. You know? Yeah. Got inside. Yeah.
I want to go back.
Yeah.
We have here five words.
Five.
Five words picked up a whole sefer.
That's it.
What
look in the Gemara and Chun. There's a whole parak in the Gemara and Chun that discusses those, because those five words were mentioned 3 times in the Torah, 3 different places, so it's 15 words. That's already different. 5 words would be nothing. 15 words. 15 words. 15 words already significant. If the Torah repeated the same pasuk 3 times, then you're ready, you gotta pay attention to it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on, I'm gonna get there right now. Alright, so now. So just maybe I try to move on here. Alright, so there you have it. So between cheese and meat, this is the most you would have to do. Now, we know, perhaps you've heard, or perhaps you have this custom, that there are people that do wait between milk and fleshing. There are people that wait between dairy and meat. Some people wait a half hour, some people wait an hour, and what's up with that? Okay, so this sounds like a strange thing. Why should anyone wait at all? As we saw, it's clearly stated in the Gemara and Chun that you don't have to wait. So why should you wait? So the answer is that there is a statement in the Zohar which is quoted, the Zohar in Parshas Mishpatim, and it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, and I apologize for the way the sheet was made, but if you look here on side B, what I'm calling side B, on the right-hand side, there is a paragraph, a quotation from the Beis Yosef, which says the following. He quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says 4 lines down. Okay, 4 lines down in the paragraph. Ashtachan, we find, the kol man de ochel hay michwa kechoda, that any person who eats milk and meat together as one, o b'shaita choda, or in the same hour, which this is important to take note of, o b'sudasa choda, or in the same meal, even if it stretches for more than an hour. So then he just goes on to say a lot of difficult to translate Aramaic words. So he says that such a person, all kinds of bad things are going to happen to that person. I actually located online an English translation of Zohar. I still don't understand what it means even after I saw it in English. But it says that all kinds of bad things are going to happen. And it's one of the things it says is that it's going to provoke, I wrote it down here, it's going to provoke unholy judgments about that person in heaven. That's quoted here at the end. He says, where is it? The old, Sidrach Dvori Kadisha. Yoshimei Nishmasim Sidrach Dvori Kadisha. That it's going to create all kinds of problems for this person upstairs. That's what it says in the Zohar. Okay, now there's a Kabbalistic teaching which has no basis in the Gemara. Right? It doesn't say in the Gemara such a thing. But based on this, so the Mekubalim said that a person should wait between dairy and meat. Okay? That the person should wait. So now, if you take the Zohar literally, you would have to wait an hour. However, the common practice amongst people who wait is to wait only a half an hour. So they say that that's because of the fact that when the Zohar said an hour, it just meant, also meant just an approximation, and therefore a half hour would be sufficient. Okay, this is a Kabbalistic minhag, a lot of people have this minhag. It's clearly not dictated, it doesn't say in the Gemara, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, But nevertheless, this is a minhag that the Mekubalim had and became, it achieved a certain degree of popularity, and therefore there are people that have that practice. I'm not saying that you have to do that. It can't be that you have to do that because, as I say, it doesn't say in the Gemara, it doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch, so it can't be that you have to do it. Somebody would have mentioned it. However, there is this, because of the minhag hamikubalim, because of the practice of the Kabbalists, so therefore there are people that wait. So if you meet a person who says that he will not eat meat immediately after milk, so he waits a half hour, that's where he's getting it from. That's what it's based on. This is based, again, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't say a word about this in the Shulchan Aruch as far as that you have to do it, but based on this teaching of the Zohar, there are people that do it. Okay, so that would explain why some people do it, why many people don't. Okay, there you have it. Now, the question is that the final area that we have to explore, which is very relevant today, is that we've all heard that, but it's different if you eat hard cheese. It's different if you eat hard cheese. Now, what is this based on? So here we have to look here, and again at the top of this page, there is a quote in the Shulchan Aruch section on the top left of the sheet. So all we did so far was read the words of the Mechaber of Rabbi Yosef Karo. But now we have to turn our attention to the Ramah. Okay, and here is where the Ashkenazic Jews have to take pause. Okay, here there's a difference in practice between Ashkenazim and Sfarim. So the Ramah says, it's in the Rashi print on the top left of the page. He says, "V'yesh machmirin afilu b'basar achar gvina." Now it happens to be that it's not for now, but if you want to carefully read this Ramah, it's very difficult to follow what the Ramah is saying. Very unclear because it seems to be vacillating. But he says there are those people that are machmir even when it comes to meat after cheese. Meaning there are people that wait 6 hours after cheese. How do you like that? There are people that wait 6 hours after cheese before they eat meat. Yesh machmir. What is that based on? So this is Ashkenazic practice that some people had. It was based on a psak of the Marami Rottenberg, who was one of the great German rabbis who said back in the 13th century, who once had a situation that he found after he ate cheese, so sometime later he found he had a cavity, apparently he writes in his tshuva, he had a cavity in his teeth, and he found cheese in his teeth, a piece of cheese, while he was eating meat. So based on that, he said that he took upon himself that he's going to wait, he's now going to wait 6 hours even after having cheese. This is what he said. Now, this tshuva is quoted, generated a great deal of controversy, because the Mashal, or Shlomo Royer, who lived several centuries later, went so far as to say that such a practice is heresy. He said it's apikorsis to say such a thing. He said, how could you say that? The Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says you don't have to wait. So he decided that you have, what kind of thing is that? Right? He made up his own law. It's one thing if the Gemara was silent on this issue, but the Gemara clearly says you don't have to wait between cheese and meat. So where does he come to say such a thing? So on that, the Marshal says that was only because he had one time stumbled over this law because he had this issue himself. So therefore he took upon himself practice. That's what the Mashal says. However, others said disagreed with that and said that for some reason he had the right to do it. And basically they gave two reasons why. One of them is they said it's just a chumrah. He wasn't saying that you for sure have to do it. He wasn't saying it's the law. He was saying it's a chumrah. So a chumrah you can always do. And they say, look at the Gemara. The rabbi who said he's vinegar, the son of wine, was saying that his father didn't eat milk and meat on the same day. Now, that's not what we follow. So he said, but the point is that, okay, if you want to be machmir, you can be machmir. That's what some people say. And other people say that there is basis based on the Zohar. Based on the Zohar. Now, the Zohar did not say you have to wait 6 hours. The Kabbalistic point does not say you have to wait 6 hours. But nonetheless, this is the practice of of some people. So the Ramah, who pretty much decide, I'm sorry? Yeah. The Ramah is only talking about hard cheese. So hold on. So then he says, V'chein no'agin. So then the Ramah says, and this is the custom, shekol shagvina kosha, that any time you're eating hard cheese, ein ochun achra afilu basar of, that we don't eat after hard cheese, we don't eat even chicken. After hard cheese, we don't eat even chicken until, you know, he doesn't say until you wait how long, he doesn't say, okay, but he says that this is the minhag, that after hard cheese, that you have to wait. Now, it's very unclear, as I said before, if you want to learn this Ramah B'Iyun, it's very hard to understand what he's saying, because in the previous line, when he said Yesh Machmirin, he wasn't saying it, presumably only about hard cheese. It sounds like he's saying Yesh Machmirin, and then he says V'chein Nogin. So the way it's learned in a lot of circles, one could look in the contemporary Sefer Badei HaShulchan, where he says that what the Ramah meant to say was that there are some people who held that you always had to wait 6 hours. But the minhag became that there were people that said it, that even if it wasn't hard cheese, you had to wait. Okay, but the minhag became that if you eat hard cheese, you have to wait. This is what the Ramah means. And then he brings down the Eish Mekirin, that there are those that are lenient, the Ein Limchos, and you can't criticize the people who are lenient. Rakshi Yasu Kinuach Adachan Atilis Yadayim, as long as they take the precautions that we mentioned. Miu Tov Lahachmir. However, it is good to be strict in this matter. This is the Ramah. Okay, so now the Ramah is vague, because the Ramah first of all says hard cheese. Now, what's hard cheese? Hard cheese, we all have 6 hour cheese. What do you mean? You go into the store, American cheese, which is clearly not 6 hour cheese, right? But it's hard cheese, it's not soft, right? You can get it in a block, right? So you can slice it. So hard cheese maybe means hard cheese, right? So what does he mean? And further, he doesn't say how long you're supposed to wait. He just says that there are those people that are machmir. But how long do they wait? So this is a matter of a great deal of dispute. But basically, in the Aruch HaShulchan, he says that the basis for this practice, and this was also echoed, it is reported by Rav Yosher ben Soloveitchik, that he told his students also, that the reason for this is because of the fact that hard cheese has a very strong taste to it. Okay, hard cheese has a very strong taste to it. Now you'll say, what do you mean? Not every hard cheese, American cheese doesn't have a very strong taste. So if you look here in the Shach, on the top right of the page, so Sifsei Kohen, the Shach says, Umin astam, imhi yeshona shisha chadoshim, chashiva kosha. Says the Shach that what the practice is, that if it's aged 6 months, if the cheese is aged 6 months, then it's called, that's what he means hard cheese. In other words, hard cheese doesn't mean cheese that's hard that you could slice with a knife, because we know that the cheese that's not aged 6 months also like that. But the way they interpret the Shach is that because of the fact that the hard cheese has a sharp taste, in other words, aged cheese that's 6 months old or longer, why do they age it for? Right? The reason why they age it is because it takes on a stronger taste. It takes on a stronger taste. So therefore, once it takes on a stronger taste, so then one of the reasons for waiting 6 hours is that the taste lingers in your mouth. The fatty, greasy taste stays in your mouth. If you have sharp cheese, strong tasting cheese, that's going to stay in your mouth for 6 hours. Yeah.
I still don't understand. Where's the mukmar for that? It says specifically that the Gemara is not so.
Yeah, so good. So where is the mukmar for that? So again, there's no question that there's no mukmar in the Gemara for such a practice. What the marker for this is one of two places. It's hard to know. It's, in other words, the minute to wait, it depends who you ask. There are those people that say that it's because the Maram Rottenberg, after that happened to him, he instituted like a harchoka. In other words, he instituted a chumrah. So there is no marker in the Gemara. You're 100% right. But the Rishonim had the right to institute certain practices as chumras. So therefore, he instituted that practice. And if you held that, you would wait 6 hours. There are other people that say that the basis for it is the Zohar, in which case you would only have to wait 1 hour. So in reality, there are different practices. There are people that after aged cheese wait 6 hours, and people that after aged cheese wait 1 hour, and there are people that after aged cheese don't wait at all, and that's because, as the Ramah himself says, that the Eish Mekilim Vein Limchos, that there are people that are lenient and you can't criticize them because of the fact that there is no real marker for this, because of the fact that there is no clear-cut source for this. But nevertheless, the Ramah says, Tov Lahachmir, the Ramah says that the bottom line, the Ramah says, is that it's good that a person should be strict, and thus, So the practice would be that a person really should try to do that, should try to wait. Now, which, so again, you know, how long you have to wait is unclear. What the reason is, Rav HaShulchan says, because the taste lingers in your mouth, but there are others that say, that disagree with that, and say that it's because hard cheese would get stuck in your teeth, and maybe because it's hard and aged, it would not decompose so quickly. So, there's a lot of unclarity about this. However, it seems to be that the prevailing Ashkenazic practice is that we would wait 6 hours. What the Sfaradim do, I'm not clear on this point. I don't think they would wait because it's all from the Zohar, they might follow anyway. So then they would wait an hour or wait at least a half hour, so they can't just walk away from it either. But the Maharam Rottenberg was an Ashkenazic rabbi, and therefore it could be that only Ashkenazim follow this. Okay, now, the big question that comes up today is that, so, you know, back in the day when the kosher food industry was relatively primitive, so this wasn't an issue because, you know, to get aged cheese was not a simple matter, and most people weren't so sophisticated, so you had just the American cheese or even the Swiss cheese, which is sold in the stores, which I am told that even though it has holes in it, which some poskim say that when cheese ages, it develops those holes, and that would be a sign of aged cheese, but I understand that it's done artificially in the cheap Swiss cheese that's made in America, and it's just for show, and it doesn't, and the fact of the matter is that the cheese does not have such a sharp taste, right? There's unclear exactly, you know, so in the old days it was not such an issue. But today, with the emergence of the sophisticated kosher consumer and high-end kosher restaurants and all kinds of things, so today we have such cheese. So most notably, Parmesan cheese, I understand, is aged always for a year before it is served. Now, I further was told that Parmesan cheese is often used in dairy kosher restaurants because it has the better taste. Because, in other words, you know, the cheaper cheese, so all right, you know, it has the cheese taste, but it's, you know, that's good if you're just paying a low price for the main course, you know. But if you're going to a high-end restaurant and you want something that has a really good taste, a sophisticated palate, so then they're going to use the fancier cheese. So now the question is, so what do we do about a situation like that? So do you have to wait or don't you have to wait? So here, there is a lot of discussion. So there is one of the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch called Yad Yehuda, who said that in his opinion, this chumrah does not apply if the cheese is melted. If the cheese is melted, it does not apply. And therefore, if you have a hot dish that's served, even if it had the Parmesan cheese or whatever other fancy cheese, or they had Swiss cheese from Switzerland, or you know, the other, I can't even pronounce the names of some of those cheeses, but you know, the very fancy ones. So if it was cooked into the dish, so there's what to rely upon, that you have the Ad Yehuda's psak, that if it's melted, it's not a problem. Now, if you think about that, why should that be true? So the it sounds like, and the Sefer Bari HaShulchan assumes this, that because he believed that the whole issue was that it gets stuck in your teeth. So if it's melted, it's not going to get stuck in your teeth. But what about if you say that the taste lingers? So the taste lingers may be true even by melted cheese. So therefore, there are those who aren't so comfortable following the Ad Yehuda's Psak, because they say he's taking sides. But we said earlier that we don't take sides in this dispute. In other words, there are two opinions, and we're choshish for both of them. Right? So this is an issue. Now, I don't want to, you know, I consulted with Baruch Hashem, we were fortunate to have in our midst the representatives of the major kashrus agencies in South Florida. Two of them are seated here right now. And I, upon discussing it, I was told that the local restaurants do not say anything about it, but they use it. They use the Parmesan cheese, but they don't make an issue out of it. And the kashrus doesn't make an issue out of it either, because of a combination of reasons. Either because of the fact that it's kosher, so, you know, we're putting it in, it's kosher. Our job is to tell you whether it's kosher. It's kosher. Right? Whether you have to wait, that's the consumer's issue. Right? As the old Sims, the clothing store motto, an educated consumer is our best customer. So too that sign can be hung in the kosher restaurants of South Florida, right? That you have to know. That's up to you to find that out. Okay, that's what some. Or you could say that they rely on the lenient ruling that if it's melted, But it's not always melted. In other words, sometimes you could have a salad where they throw in grated cheese, and they throw in grated Parmesan cheese, or other such cheese. Again, you go to a high-end restaurant, they want to have that good taste, they're going to put in the better cheese. So, I did a little research. In New York, it seems like they either put a sign in this restaurant or put a warning in the menu that you should just know that this is in there, and therefore it's up to you. It's up to you to decide. In other words, ask your Rav, and if he says you could follow there's a lot of room to be lenient. Because first of all, you have the idea, who does psak, right, number one. Number two, the whole thing's a chumrah in the first place, and Rav Moshe Feinstein said that it's a chumrah, even though the Ramah says tov lahachmir, but it's only a chumrah, so maybe that presents a little room to, even though it's the minig to do that, but maybe not, you know, maybe you don't have to go so far. It's hard to know. But it's not clear. There are definitely the Star Cake Kashrus, for example, says that grated cheese that's put into a salad, you would have to wait 6 hours. And they also say that it also depends, even if it's melted, it depends if it was baked or if it was cooked. And if it was baked, you don't have to argue with this leniency, only if it was cooked. So I can't say, I don't want to start trouble, but the bottom line is that it seems that the Kashrus is relying on a person to know what's going on. So therefore, the same way, you know, a person who's careful about Chol Yisrael might go into a restaurant and ask them, say, is this Chol Yisrael? So a person may want to go ask, do you have Parmesan cheese in here? Or not, do you have 6 hour cheese? But the fact that you don't hear anything about it, it seems, it doesn't mean it's not there. It doesn't mean it's not there. So therefore, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to start trouble, but it seems that there's a miscommunication here. That in other words, the restaurant's assuming that you know to ask. But how do you know to ask? They don't tell you. So, you know, they're assuming you know, and you assume that they're going to tell you. So you have a perfect misunderstanding. Right? A perfect classical misunderstanding. They assume you're going to ask, and you assume that they're going to tell you. Right? So, Mimela, the bottom line is that a person should decide for himself, maybe consult with his Rav, what he wants to do, and follow that practice accordingly. Yes, okay.